Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. You're like a book club for people who hate reading. This month is grab bag, so Ryan picked the movie The Void, made in 2016, along with Season 1, Episode 1 of The Rockford Files. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. Here's a description of the movie picked by Black Glove Plus Preston. Shortly after delivering a patient to an understaffed hospital, a police officer experiences strange and violent occurrences seemingly linked to a group of mysterious hooded figures. So, since I can't technically give a zero under the rules, I give this movie a 0.5. This movie... So, I watched this off of Amazon.com.
And, wait, you paid for this?
Yeah. It was 99 cents.
Wow.
So here's my main problem. When I watched it, the mix was very shitty. It was heavy bass. And my bass, by the way, on my home theater system was fairly turned down. The atmosphere was okay. It vaguely reminded me of Silent Hill, Resident Evil, and a handful of other video games you could probably base this off of. The weird triangle guys in hoods were kind of clever, seen it before. Overall, this movie just sucked. James?
This is probably one of the worst horror films I've seen in quite a while. Hold on. Just be quiet for a moment.
No.
The first opening scene, like, I was excited for it. I really was. I was like, dude, this is awesome.
Excited, then totally let down.
And then when they got locked in a hospital, I mean, like, the points got dropped drastically. I can't really give it a 2 because I do, or below a 2, because I do have quite a long list of shitty horror films, and it doesn't even get in the top 10 of worst horror films I've ever seen, so it's not a 2, but I've seen a shit ton of movies, people. A shit ton. Like, a lot.
Redneck Zombies by Troma is a better film than this.
Yeah, that at least Redneck Zombies gets like a 2.5-3 by my standards. So, Ryan, I'm gonna throw it at you.
Man, I was expecting a little more love after I saw this one. Wow, this is gonna seem odd after that bullshit. But three.
Oh, I'm ready for this one.
Too bad for Ryan. All that love is self-love.
Go ahead.
Hey, I've got all the love in the world, buddy, and that's why I give this a 3. It's obviously this is a throwback. Okay, this is a straight up The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing meets fucking H.P. Lovecraft.
This movie would have been better as a silent picture.
Let me finish. it's obviously just pulled straight out of the Call of Cthulhu. You know, type of story, the cultists that are sacrificing, you know, people to their space gods, essentially. And obviously a throwback to the, you know, 1980s style, hardcore horror movies, a la, you know, like I said, The Thing or Hellraiser. You mentioned Silent Hill. That's perfect. You know, that sort of genre. But the
what
one
the
thing
fuck
I didn't
are you
realize,
talking about? Sorry, I'm just trying to follow where your brain is going here.
I'm mentioning why the fuck they made this movie the way they did.
Yeah, but you're putting in actually decent movies in comparison to this.
No, I'm okay. Let me get to my second point then. Okay, this movie.
Can we go to the third one?
This movie was funded on Indiegogo, cost $83,000, or at least that's what their contributors
zombie strippers had a lower budget than this.
After watching it, this they spent $50,000 too much. I mean, you guys
have no idea what you're fucking talking about.
I do actually get what you're saying. I do agree with Ryan. This is definitely a throwback. I just wish they aimed for the round file a little bit more. Well, I can totally see a lot of the 80s feel to it. I agree with that. The problem with this, the movie didn't have any story.
Wolf Cop had an 80s feel. This did not have an
80s
feel.
Okay, look, if anything...
Let Ryan go.
If anything, all you can... if anything, all you can say is it was derivative too much of H.P. Lovecraft straight up. You know, but the wanting to go back and get that feeling of just making old school fucking puppet monsters, you know, that's something you don't see too often anymore. You know, it's obviously trying to be more than the sum of its parts. You know what I mean? They definitely reached pretty far with what they were trying to do. But like I said, the only thing I think you can really fault it for is being incredibly derivative. But that's pretty much most of what we see all the time anyway.
By the way, this movie really reminded me of Ghost of Mars. If anybody ever seen that. I totally get what you're saying. My problem is this movie didn't really have any story. It was one gag or one scene after another trying to make a cohesive story out of something that, well, wasn't really cohesive because just random shit happened. They said, oh, it's because of these weird guy with people with triangle cutouts. I mean, it was like the Ku Klux Klan, but retarded.
The thing is, they might have buried the lead a little bit when it came to what the motive was for the cultists. I think that was them just trying to go for more of a slow burn, but I think it would have been more effective, like you know that they're being sacrificed to some thing, and then it's the anticipation of if you get to see this thing. But I actually like where they ended it though, with just this sort of like otherworldly dimension, vast kind of, you know, a pyramid weird wasteland thing.
I just thought it was
a very cool thing.
But wasn't the chick next to him the chick who had all those tentacles come out of her?
Yes.
I mean, all of a sudden, it goes from a movie to...
vision.
All of a sudden, it goes from a movie to an anime porn. So it's just... I mean, they went over tentacle porn at this point. There were a lot of tentacles coming out of her.
For the record, anime porn, tentacle porn took their cue from fucking Lovecraft also, right? So you can't really
hentai.
Call it. Hentai doesn't have the exclusive right.
Do you watch Yaki?
I'm unfamiliar with that one. Am I out of the loop on something?
Go watch the South Park episode on that one. Educate yourself.
Honestly,
have I missed a complete subgenre of porn? I need to catch up. Jesus.
I really wanted to like this movie, but this movie went past boring, went past stupid, up to what was the point of making it? I really didn't see any redeeming part of it. However, the one part I liked about it was that weird triangle-shaped thing that kind of did the Beetlejuice thing, what just kind of appears out of nowhere. That was kind of clever, but hey, Beetlejuice did it first in a whole lot of other movies.
Okay, you know, I'm gonna give the directors, and I believe they are the same as the producers.
Looks like it.
Writers. They're the same writers or the guys who directed it. This is what happens when you have makeup artists and assistant art directors try to make a movie. Because, I mean, I get what you're saying. They're trying to do a throwback to things. But as far as I'm concerned, if this one is marketed...
Hold on.
Let me finish. This one is marketed towards horror fans. That's what this film is going for. If you're a horror fan, you've seen this done multiple times in different categories of horror. Shut up. And, I mean, you've seen it done. And I think if you're going to do something like this, and what was this? It came out last year. So at this point, if you're a true horror fan, you've seen these. You've seen the B-horrors. You've seen the big budget horrors that have done the same type of thing. It was boring to me, and I knew where it was going to go the whole time.
I would say that was part of the point. I don't believe I'm defending this fucking movie. It was like inside baseball for
the
horror fans.
Five is defending this film.
But look, John's right that it is inside baseball for horror fans a bit, and so that's maybe that's why partly why I enjoyed it is because I'm catching all sort of the influences.
I am too.
I thought it was a bunch of
but
base
also
that was returned.
Listen, I've said this 1,000 times that there's something to be said about feeling like you can reach through and touch what you're looking at, you know? So, and from what I understand from the Indiegogo page was the intention of crowdfunding was mostly to get the budget to make these monsters. So that was the intention all along was we don't want to go with the CGI thing. You know, even when they did sort of go CGI with the blue screen, With the blue screen and I mean, look, fucking Hellraiser had just as shitty graphics and
so
and
did costumes. Lawnmower Man. We brought these up last week.
But you know, I mean, but fucking Hellraiser is just like a cult classic nowadays.
Well, yeah. By the way, I liked all the Hellraisers. Except for the last two.
I'm still keeping mine the rating I am, even though we're not at that point. But if their whole goal was to make a really crappy movie with good monsters, they definitely hit what they were aiming for. It just hit the fence and rolled into the catcher's glove.
I mean, the bad actors really bothered me. And it's nothing against the actors.
Yeah, there were a couple, but they...
Well, hold on, let me finish. It was the lines that they were given.
What to you was a bad actor? Like, which one?
The main cop was a bad actor. So was the actual state trooper that showed up. The Asian chick.
She was the most annoying person in this movie, by the way.
Not necessarily the old man, but when he was trying to hold her hand during her contractions and shit, he did some really poor acting there. Then also the pregnant chick, like when she stood up after, you know, she was basically becoming one of the creatures. She kind of jumped up and was delivering lines, but I was just bothered with how monotonous she was delivering the lines.
By the way, when did that? So that guy's daughter was actually a creature from Half-Life? Is that
basically? I mean, if you really boiled it down, yeah.
Because that's what totally reminded me of. It's like, you know, you're going to need a leash for your daughter there,
the
pal.
The only thing that had me busting up laughing was the crackhead that they left handcuffed to the bed next to a dead body. I was just blown away by that.
The torture scene was kind of funny.
The torture scene was kind of funny. I mean,
the guy played that off really well. That was probably the best acting in the entire movie. And when it cut away to the pregnant lady and the old man, they were kind of wondering what happened. That was probably the best acted scene in the movie.
Yeah, and I was kind of bothered by the throwback to Saving Private Ryan during the knife fight scene when he's laying on his back. I mean, that was really like right out of Saving Private Ryan. It kind of bugged me that they were going that route, but they did do a great thing of kind of giving that, intensifying that situation. So I got to give it to them. That scene was actually pretty good, but it's stolen from Saving Private
Ryan.
Do you
know what it was really missing? Ken!
God, no, don't do that. No.
I think they might have overreached. They were trying to be, they were trying to sort of be that kind of instant cult thing by you know, taking it back a little bit to that sort of feel of that kind of movie, because it's rare that you see this sort of thing anymore. You know, like James said, of course we've all seen it 100 times if you're fans of the genre, but. It's not something that's really practiced anymore, making these monsters. So props to them on that one. They overreached and they mostly succeeded, I think, but it fell short in a couple of places. I think the bad acting kind of lends itself to the genre.
Yeah, it does. You know, and it's forgivable to a point.
But I mean, you know, you got the old man. But it's also a crowdfunded fucking indie movie, so you got to take that with a grain of salt.
I think the biggest problem.
I mean, did they grab the grips and the best boys from all the scenes that they?
I mean, look, if it's better than fucking college play acting, then I'm happy when it comes to indie movies.
I think the biggest problem is I think they were trying too much to make an Inside Baseball movie instead of a movie that actually had a decent plot, was written well. Bad acting is everywhere, especially in movies this cheap. I mean, $83,000 is really nothing, but they just failed at every level in this movie.
Go on,
but hold on, but that's also, I mean, obviously made it for the fans, okay? So when you crowdfund something, it's the fans that are giving you the money. So who's really at fault here? You know, it's no harm, no foul.
Yeah, I would say that. It is a no harm, no foul. But you keep on mentioning Inside Baseball, or John does, and then you kind of say, you know, this is throwbacks to this. Let's just throw out one that all of us, I'm pretty sure even John, gave a 5 to. Cabin in the Woods. That is the perfect throwback film to all the horror movies, even with the creatures and everything. Well, that's what I want to say. And I'm not saying that they needed a bigger budget to do that. I'm saying I think what they did was they put a movie together that I think it failed the mark on even being a cult classic.
I would,
but I.
Well, oh yeah, no, yeah.
But I'm saying that they have something as a reference point that they can look at and be like, "This was a great idea. Let's take this and go this route."
I enjoy
horror films. We talked about this one last week. Is the Rob Zombie Halloween film that was like all inside baseball for horror fans. He did a fantastic job with that.
I think the one main difference between this and Cabin in the Woods is Cabin in the Woods was meant to be funny. It was all tongue in cheek, even though it was a giant throwback. This one tried to take itself a little too serious, which, hey, you know, I think it failed.
But it wasn't. See, Cabin in the Woods was sort of a play on the genre. You know, it's the Mark Twain quote. You know, first know the rules and then distort them at your leisure.
Yeah.
So they knew the rules of horror movies. They knew the tropes and they played with it as much as possible. I mean, that's a fucking perfect movie, but it's also a very singular movie. There's nothing like that that exists. This one was literally trying to just insert itself into the genre of 80s horror movies, you know, or just monster, hardcore monster movies, you know, that kind of thing.
I think that's the biggest problem. Maybe if this was made in the 80s, it would be better. Maybe it's just out of time.
I don't know. I mean, if you really want to throw out one from the 80s that was that kind of had the same type of creatures thing that you have out there, you have Cat People. That movie sucked. And that would be the only one that I would compare this thing to, because...
Yeah, well, with a movie with a title like Cat People, I can't believe it.
So
I've never seen Cat People.
So the interest of this not being the show being too long, I'm continue to give this movie a 0.5 because I can't give it a 0. I was completely not interested in it at all. And usually there's some redeeming value I can take from a movie. This one was definitely absent of that. So 0.5 is the highest rating I could give this movie and the lowest. So James?
Kind of like I said, I mean, this one isn't the worst one. It's definitely not even in the top 10 of the worst ones I've ever seen. So it's got to stick at a 2 because it's not completely throwaway. If I run out of things to watch, I won't watch it again. So that's where it's at.
So Ryan batters up.
He gives it a 5.
Sticking with a 3. You know, obviously it's got problems. Okay, there's no doubt in that, but. For fans of the genre, I would recommend it as like, hey, check this one out. This is something you ain't seen in a while, you know.
Problems. If this thing was on life support, it would be code bluing.
You're just being fucking curmudgeon-y.
Well, yeah, I am kind of a curmudgeon, but this movie sucked. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page and catch us at facebook.com/realflixreviews. Or if you have any movie news you want to send us or even a movie you'd love us to do, let us know. You can also catch us on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and more. Now we're going to give it to James. He's talking about season 1, episode 1 of Rockford Files.
So, unfortunately, I actually took quite a bit of time and actually looked for episode 0. I couldn't find it anywhere without paying for a subscription to Hulu or anything else. So what I did manage to do is I tracked down season 1, episode 1, and that's why we had to switch it. And this one is called The Kirkoff Case, and it is the actual first one of the season. And, I mean, I was kind of blown away. I hadn't watched this one before. It had really, really 20-something-year-old James Woods involved in this one, and also Abe Vigoda. And I mean, just saying those two names back in, when was this made? 1964. That's some top build guys.
Did you mean to say James Garner?
No, James Woods.
He wasn't the main character, though.
No, he wasn't. He was the kid. He was the kid that shot his father.
Oh, shit. Okay.
By the way, Abe Vigoda still looked 90 in this TV show.
He did.
The man that never aged, he just stayed old.
But this one I liked because it did kind of go into, later on as the seasons progress, Rockford actually always does not go and use the valet because of this happening to him. He got burned at the valet, but beat up by, like, he said 5 guys. I think it was only 3. But
when you get beat up, you're going to make it a fish story, make it sound better than it really happened.
I didn't watch the old Mavericks, for people tuning in who don't know. James Garner is Brett Maverick. You might have seen the movie Maverick with Mel Gibson, and you see him kind of referring to his dad, and that's James Garner. That was kind of a throwback to the whole Maverick thing that he played. I have been a fan of this guy.
What we call in the biz a cameo.
Yeah, this guy, James Garner, just one of my favorite guys because of the Rockford File. I got introduced to this before Maverick.
I honestly was never a big fan of the Rockford Files. I've never really gotten into it.
I always enjoyed it.
I could see why it was good, but for some reason it never clicked for me.
Did you actually watch this one?
I've seen it before. I didn't have a chance to.
I was watching this whole thing and I'm like, man, I miss those cars. That's really what I was thinking the whole time.
I always wanted to get in this TV show and I've tried to watch it a lot over the years, but for some reason this is the one TV show I never clicked with.
Yeah, I've always met people that were either, like you said, they tried to get into it and they couldn't, or they were fans of it. I have always been a fan of this show. I just liked it because it's one that does kind of have an underlying story going through with his past with the cops and things like that, but I always enjoyed it.
So was the original episode...
What's not to like?
So was the original episode, you called Episode Zero, was it a movie?
No, it was...
Because usually what happens when you talk Episode Zero, usually it's a backdoor pilot, which is usually a two-hour movie that possibly leads into a TV show if it does well.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't a two-hour thing, but I could be wrong. I haven't seen it in a very long time.
At least
20 years.
Ryan?
I said it was probably just a standard pilot.
Oh, no, it's an hour and a half, sorry. John is actually right. With commercials, it'd come out to be a two-hour thing.
Yeah, so but,
I'm saying, anyway.
What were you saying, Ryan?
Never mind.
I could see why it was a good TV show for back in the day. I can totally see it. I just wish I got into it, but I was never able to. I like Maverick, though.
Yeah,
but shocking me liking a black and white TV show.
Well, this is basically it's basically a fucking modern day Maverick.
Yeah, yeah, it is, and I mean,
it's the same guy, it's the same character,
practically.
I don't think he scams people as much being Rockford.
Oh, he does.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he's a smooth operator.
So next week is our theater pick. We haven't really discussed this, so my vote is Wonder Woman.
I'm okay with it.
Ryan?
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. So, ladies and gentlemen, do we have a TV show, by the way?
I am actually looking that up. I don't have anything off the top of my head. Ryan, you got anything that you want to watch?
Nah, let's just keep watching American Gods.
All right, yeah, we can do it. We can do the actual, this was the season finale this Sunday. We'll do the season finale for John. I'm sure he'll love that one.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody go catch up and watch this fucking show. It's awesome.
It is.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I gave The Void 2016 a much-deserved 0.5. James gave it a highly overrated 2. Ryan gave it a, oh my God, I don't believe he gave it a 3. Next week, we're doing Wonder Woman, along with American Gods season finale. Ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.